This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello everybody, my name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we're back for another exciting interview. Ryan, who are we speaking with today?
Well, today our show is going to focus on how to keep new Toastmasters in Toastmasters. We're going to address the issue of attrition in Toastmasters clubs and see what we can do to slow down or stop attrition. And here to help us address that topic today is Mr. John Kerwin. John is actually a new Toastmaster himself. He joined Toastmasters 7 months ago, but he's already received his Competent Communicator, his Competent Leader Award, and he's a member of 5 clubs, including serving as president of ESL Toastmasters. So it is my great pleasure to welcome to the show the host of The John Kerwin Show, Mr. John Kerwin. Welcome.
Welcome, John.
Thank you, fellas. Great applause in that studio.
Yes, the fans are jumping out of their seats here. For those who are not familiar, can you tell our listeners a little bit about this wonderful production called The John Kerwin Show?
Or as we call it, The John Kerwin Show.
Yeah, The Junker.
Well, it's a late night talk show that I've been doing a long time. What's new about it is that I had a show on just recently where I had on kid stars. So I had one of the stars of School of Rock, which is on Nickelodeon, I guess, and then Disney's Girl Meets World. And I had these kids on as guests, and there were kids in the audience, and I loved it. So this show has kind of morphed into being this children's show. So I love that. But before that, I had on Oscar winners and actors and singers and just regular celebrities. But I found it to be just so humbling and so exciting to have these kids. Plus, they're great audience members. You know, a lot of times I'll say some joke to a regular audience and they kind of will look at me like that was a dumb joke. But the kids will just roll over laughing at the same thing.
Especially if you give them a lot of sugar to begin with, right?
And we do that as well. Yes. Smart. So that's kind of like what I'm doing. I guess I'm kind of doing a kid's show, and we have a lot of big stars coming up from great movies and Disney stuff. So that's what it is.
Cool. And where does your show air?
It airs on Saturday nights at 10 p.m. on DirecTV channel 366.
Cool.
And you could always go to thejohnkerwinshow.com to find out more about it or to come to a taping if you have kids.
Is there an internet version as well of the show?
Not an internet version, but it's on YouTube. There's a YouTube channel with the episodes.
Oh, okay, good.
Why did you join Toastmasters? As someone who presumably was very comfortable in an audience doing this late night show, what about Toastmasters attracted you?
Well, it may sound like a cliche, but I live to speak. I love to speak. I love being in front of people. And it's a little bit of a drug for me. And it doesn't matter whether it's in front of 10 people at a small Toastmaster meeting or 10,000 people. I love being in front of people. I just feel alive doing that. I guess it goes back to school and show and tell. And I was a very lonely, only child kid. And then I spoke, and like magic, everybody wanted to be my friend. And the most popular kid in school was my friend. I had my first girlfriend. All these things happened from speaking. So somehow in my life, I started realizing that this is something that I enjoy doing and I excel at it. And I just want to always do it as much as I can. And someone told me about Toastmasters. I said, oh, that sounds like something I'd probably love. And that's why I got into it. And it's been fantastic.
So you did Toastmasters for more speaking opportunities, or at least to get in front of other people and get the opportunity to speak in front of other people more often? Or did you there with the idea that you were going to learn something that you didn't already know?
I went in there just thinking I would have more speaking opportunities, but as I got into it, I realized how much I needed to grow as a speaker. So it surprised me. You know, I'm the president of ESL Toastmasters, and you might say, well, why would you be a part of ESL if English is your only language? And it started out as a mistake. The Toastmaster group is in El Segundo, and I misread that. I thought it was El Segundo Toastmasters, ESL, which would be ELS. And when I went there, I'm basically in a group of people from Saudi Arabia, Korea, Japan, and so on. And I'm like, what's going on here? I go, no, this is ESL Toastmasters. And they were all laughing at the dumb guy who speaks English. And I said, okay, well, I guess I'll just do it today as a one-off, and then nice to meet you. But during that meeting, I liked everyone so much and we got along so well that I decided to stay. And I thought maybe I can help them because they would need a grammarian or they would need someone that speaks English to help them. And I found that I've been able to help more with them than virtually anything I've done before.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. It's
similar story. Reminds me of the time that I walked into a Shoppers Anonymous meeting by accident. I thought I was walking into Toastmasters, but now I'm part of that group. And I haven't been shopping ever since.
There you go. I think your story is funnier than mine. But mine's true.
But yours is true, right?
Yeah, so that's one of them. One of the clubs that I went to, and I thought that really another thing about ESL Toastmasters is that because English isn't their first language, if you're giving a speech, if it's complicated or not clear, they just will not understand it. So you really have to pare down the speeches to make them as clear and understandable as possible. And I found that if at my ESL group, they understood a speech and they were laughing and enjoying it, then virtually any group would understand it and it would be clear. Because so many times you'll hear a speech and you'll just zone out or you won't understand it, you won't follow it. And that group taught me how to be super clear, how to really get to the points and to speak slowly so that it can be digested. And when I was speaking competitively, I was in a situation where there were children, families, and I had the families coming up to me and said, our kids loved your speech. And they were like, it was the only speech I understood.
Interesting.
And I think that goes directly back to ESL Toastmasters. So it's funny what can happen with a mistake in life if you're open to it. How that can actually be a benefit, because you'd think, why would I ever want to be in this club? It doesn't make any sense, but it makes perfect sense.
Interesting. I could see that being extremely beneficial if you progress in the competitive speaking track and ultimately make it to the semifinals and finals at the international convention. To have that experience of speaking to an international audience.
Yeah. That's right, because a lot of times people will be speaking in India or wherever it is for the first time, and then they get all strange about it. Like, will anyone understand what I'm talking about? It becomes really silly. But if you can get to an audience that has trouble with the language and they can start laughing, like really hard laughing, I'm telling you, you're in a good position.
Right.
Competing is amazing. I don't know if you guys have done that, but when I competed, I visited 50. I'm in District 1 in Los Angeles, and I visited 54 clubs practicing my speech. And I got to see this city as I've never seen it before. Every area, every corner. I went to major corporations like Mattel and Herbalife, Toyota, Honda, so many places, gaining security access and going into these massive companies into their meeting room where they have their Toastmaster meeting. And I really got to see life in a different way. And it's been an amazing journey. So those of you who haven't competed, I'm telling you, it can really open up your city to you. Other things that have come are just miraculous. And again, that's the reason why I'm with you guys today, is because what I've seen is I've seen so many people start Toastmasters and then after their first speech or after like a month and a half, I just never see them again. I'm like, what happened to that person? They were fantastic. They were so great for our club, and they were really learning quickly, and they just didn't stick with it. And hopefully I can help, because I'm saying that if you stick with it and you get over the hump of getting past your first three speeches, it really does get easier and easier, and you really see the benefits and how much better you're getting. And you really are on your individual path. You're not competing with other people. I've competed against people that were doing Toastmasters for 50 years when I was in competition. 50 years, and I've been doing it 5 months. And you can say, well, that's not fair or whatever, but it is. I'm on my own path and I'm doing my own thing. And you just have to be so happy that you're improving as a speaker.
Yeah.
So right. I was really upset that people were leaving. I did one club. I don't even remember where it was. It was a small little room, probably about 15 people. And afterwards, this man comes up to me and says, look, I'd like to talk to you. I'm interested in improving my speaking. I'm wealthy, but I'm always going into these business meetings and I just feel like I am so nervous. I said, well, you should join Toastmasters. He goes, I'm so busy, I just can't do it. I'd like you to teach me and coach me privately. And we worked out a fee, which turned out to be $500 per hour. And now I'm working with him. And then he gave me another client as well. So I have two clients now where I'm now coaching them individually. This is after having been in Toastmasters 5 months that I got this gig. So things can happen in Toastmasters that are quite amazing if you go to these clubs. And that's because I went to all these clubs, these various clubs, practicing. You never know who's going to be watching you.
Mm, right. It was awfully generous of you to give such a steep discount off your regular fee to that gentleman.
That's true. I had never done it. I didn't know what to pick, but I saw that some major speakers charge $5,000 or $10,000 for a day. So I said, well, this seems fair. And he said, that sounds great. And then I thought, gee, maybe I should have said $5,000 or $10,000.
Yeah. So you are in L.A. You're in Beverly Hills area there, right?
I live in Beverly Hills, but I do Toastmasters all around. Yeah. I Culver City and El Segundo, and so on. West Hollywood.
We got to put that in perspective. $500 an hour, you could buy like a hot dog for $500 in Beverly Hills, right?
Yeah, that is the generalization. But no, you can buy more than that. You could buy at least four.
That's good.
With condiments.
Well, hey, Ryan, now you're pushing it. You're really pushing it.
So, John, I want to stay on this issue of attrition in Toastmasters clubs a little bit and ask you, what would you recommend to a club? I know that the clubs I belong to, when we have guests or we have an open house meeting, the club members really want to make sure we put on a good show to show, you know, that we have some speakers here of some levels of competence. And so you want to do that, but on the other hand, you don't want to intimidate people so that they think, oh, I can't measure up to this. I'll be, the worst member, that sort of thing. What advice from a mindset or approach standpoint would you give clubs?
Quite simply, every member of the club is very important. Their level of enthusiasm and their mindset when they go into the meeting is very important. Too many times I'll go into a Toastmaster meeting and everyone will look tired, they'll barely clap, and they'll be half asleep. And then a lot of times those same people will literally go from being a zombie to just popping up to do their speech with full energy and excitement and laughter and smiling, and then they sit back down and turn back into a zombie. Mm-hmm. I guess my point is that it's a responsibility, not only when you speak, but when you're sitting down and listening to others speak, that you have a high level of enthusiasm. And that's the kind of thing that a new member sees and gets excited, because when they get up there, they're feeling that energy and excitement. And that's why everyone stands up after the icebreaker speech. It's to give that just that added oomph of encouragement to make you want to come back, because the icebreaker speech is the most difficult speech of all. So my suggestion is that as a member, you think in terms of being an audience member as well as a speaker, because it really is unfair, in my opinion, when you just kind of coast through a meeting and you're maybe even on your cell phone. And then when it comes time to do your functionary role, you wake up and then suddenly now you have personality. The time to have personality is also when you're watching other people and to be involved. I once went to a function. I saw Jim Carrey in the audience, just as an audience member. And I've never seen a better audience member than Jim Carrey. He was so locked into the performances and laughing and applauding and just engaged as an audience member. And if there's more of that, I believe that the attrition rate would be less of an issue.
How about you, Ryan? We've been in Toastmasters a long time. You've been a president of a club, VP, pretty much every position. What would you suggest for new clubs?
I think that maybe one good thing to do is make sure that you have a mix of people at different levels on the agenda for a meeting, especially if it's a meeting that you're welcoming guests to, which should be every meeting. But that way you can showcase people at different levels of competence and maybe even see evaluations that are tailored to different levels. And I think people are, guests who are visiting will pick up on that and they'll be able to tell, okay, this was someone's first speech. They went really easy on them. And this person's, they're saying this is an advanced speech. And they gave some more critical, insightful feedback.
One thing I would say is that for clubs to be open to having guest speakers and to actively invite people, that would add some variety to the lineup. Because I know that when I was visiting some of these clubs, when I was competing, I just remember a lot of times they were very new and they were very thankful that someone that had done this speech many times was helping them in a sense by being an example of how a professional speech should sound. Mm-hmm. So I think having guest speakers is very important to a club's growth.
And I think the ideas and strategies might be a little bit different if we're talking about bringing guests in as members versus keeping new members.
That's true, yeah.
Because, yeah, the strategies are a little bit different, but not too different. Like, for example, John, the things that you were talking about, I think that's great for guests or members or for anybody. I mean, all the time, the members should be engaged. They should be enthusiastic. They shouldn't be zombies, as you were saying. They should really be engaged the entire time. I think that just makes for an overall good club, a good club environment.
Absolutely, and word spreads that way. If you walk out of a club, it's like, whoa, I have got to join that club. I've been in situations where there were three or four guests in a club, and we had such a good club that every single one of them signed up that night because it was so strong and enthusiastic. And then other times, when it's kind of like everyone's zoning out, people, well, let me think about it, and then you never see them again. Right. So I can guarantee you those four people that had signed up, they told other people to come in, and that's the way not only to keep guests in but to bring in new members. The number one way is to have the members emotionally involved throughout the meeting, and that will translate to everything that Toastmasters wants, which is new members, excited members, happy members, members that come back regularly, members that want to complete their manuals. Everything is based on the meeting and how the meeting goes. And that's been my number one problem. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one that's applauding all the way when someone is announced, all the way to the lectern, as opposed to just giving a couple of claps and looking down at your cell phone. Hmm. It translates to it permeates every part of Toastmasters when each member can really go there with the mindset of this is going to be a great meeting and I'm going to be 100% involved, not only with my speaking, but listening to other people, giving feedback. My West Hollywood Toastmaster Club is fantastic because virtually every single person there gives detailed notes after the person speaks. So you come back with like 40 or 50 pieces of paper that have all notes on your speech. Whereas at other clubs, you'll see like two or three people will hand you a little note or something saying, hey, good job.
Right.
Such a difference when you're involved on that level.
Yeah. I want to touch back on something you said a moment ago, John, about being the only person applauding when someone's being welcomed to the front of the room. And I was thinking about my own experience. Sometimes I'm that one lone person who's doing the applauding. And it can feel a little intimidating at times, and you think, you know what, nobody's catching on. I'm just gonna give it up and slink back into my chair and be a zombie like everyone else. But what I found is if you push through that after a couple of times of people getting called up, finally people catch on, you know. And it might be one by one, and then finally you've kind of turned the room around and people are starting to applaud appropriately.
Especially if you give them dirty looks while you're the only one clapping.
Yeah. You know? Applaud
and
shaming.
I think it's the president, part of the president's duty when he starts a club, or a sergeant at arms, but I think really the president, to set the tone. In the world of stand-up comedy, the host of the show, or the MC, I used to be an MC at the Improv in Hollywood, and my job was to set the tone of the evening. And you'll find that the audience will generally match the personality of the MC at a comedy club. And in the same way, at a Toastmaster meeting, the president sets the tone. And he should definitely talk about that, of what the energy should be and what the expectations are of this meeting today, rather than just going up there and saying, hi, and here's your Toastmaster of the day. Mm-hmm. I really believe that that is the time to set the tone and to say everybody should be applauding for the toast. And if they don't all applaud, he should step in and at that moment set the tone. So it doesn't have to be like your experience where you're clapping really hard and then finally everybody comes around halfway through the meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't yell at people for not applauding. Look, everybody, you need to applaud.
that really sets a good tone. That's a mistake. What's wrong with you guys?
Yeah, this is the worst club ever. You guys stink.
If you're in the, again, my world coming from here is comedy and television. If you come up as a comedian, you don't have mentors. You just go out there and you just, through trial and error, try to get better and better. But in Toastmasters, as a speaker, you are constantly getting this support group of people that are giving you feedback, helping you, that are more experienced, that are giving you good suggestions to get better. So I think that's a very important part of Toastmasters that has helped me.
All right. Some good stuff, John. Do you want to tell our audience one more time where they could find more about you and your show?
Absolutely. By the way, can I give you a quick little story?
Sure. Go ahead. We can never turn down a story.
I was outside of a Toastmasters meeting one night, and this woman approaches me, and she says, look, if you'd like some help, I think that I can help you. She said, it won't cost you anything. We've helped a lot of people. I work at a clinic for mental health. And turns out she saw me practicing my speech with all my gestures and emotions and thought I was nuts.
Oh, my goodness.
You know how sometimes outside of the meetings, you'll just talk to like yourself in front of the car mirror, you know, in the window or something, and
right.
You're doing the speech. This woman actually came up to me, gave me her card, and really just thought I was bananas.
Oh, geez.
You have to have a sense of humor, too. As you're becoming a better speaker, as a new Toastmaster, you really kind of have to, because I failed. I've fallen on my face so many times. I did a thing at the district conference, at our district conference, which had about, I guess, 350 people. And you know the part like when you're competing where they'll have a microphone and the Toastmaster will interview you or something?
Yeah.
He's talking to me, and our slogan for District 1 is Together We Can. And I said, well, I've written a little song for everybody here today, and I'd like to sing it. So I sing this song, and this is the song. I'll just briefly do it. To every Toastmaster, woman and man, forever and ever, together we can. And in my mind, this was going to have screams, people standing, applauding, nothing.
That must have been awkward.
But it was fun. Yeah, I got to try it anyway, you know? So that's the kind of mindset you have to have when you go into these things. Hey, you try things. Some things work really well. Some things don't work.
Right.
But you're learning all the way through.
Yeah, absolutely.
My show is The John Kerwin Show. And again, it can be seen on DirecTV channel 366. And I really hope that the Toastmasters that are listening to this fine podcast stay in Toastmasters and get through that first hump of their first three or six speeches. And even if it gets to be a little bit defeating at times and you feel like, well, I just can't get this, my recommendation is to look for mentors and fight through it, because what will happen is you will start to have breakthroughs. And when you have a breakthrough as a speaker and you start getting laughs or you're touching people, you're inspiring them, There is nothing more gratifying, nothing more rewarding, and it's the reason why I love Toastmasters.
All right.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us today, John. Thanks for sharing your vast experience in only 7 months. You've crammed a lot into your 7 months, and appreciate you coming on the show with us.
Bo, Ryan, it's been an absolute pleasure. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.